B-Pod Studios.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street, sponsored by Bud Light, Zolak, and Bertrand, it's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertram. On the road today. On the road, we are at the Boston Sports Grill in the Star Market broadcast booth, the Boston Sports Grill at the Fan Fest on Canal Street. And we are with Bud Light today. Brad Marchand has offered up his opinion on what the NFL needs. The NHL needs to do to fix its video review problems. You know what Marchand says?
What'd he say?
He takes the Felger view of things. Get rid of it. He says, get rid of video reviews. That's the problem. He told ESPN's Emily Kaplan. When you start bringing in all the video reviews, the refs are getting crucified. They're out there to do a job. Start taking it away from them. Little by little, then it's going to escalate. Now they're going to want video reviews for pucks hitting the net or hand passes.
Yeah.
So how much are you going to take away from the refs? The only way to do it is to do all of it with video review or none of it. Why is that? Why is it an all or none proposition?
Because half measures will avail you nothing.
Stop. Beetle.
It's true. Do you, what was wrong with them using it for goals and nothing else? What was wrong with that? And I don't mind them using it to get the call right, but to what end? And it's all about the blue line.
That's not
thing
what he's saying.
Me. He's saying don't use any of it.
He's saying don't use it for goals either.
He's saying
have no review at all.
It's either all or nothing.
So that's not what you're saying. I like what you're saying. I would be okay with that.
I think
if they said the only thing it's good for is whether or not the puck went in the net, I'd be okay with that.
But
in baseball, I would love for it to be fair, foul, home run, no home run.
Yeah.
I would be A-okay with that being the only thing they use it for in baseball.
Right. Right.
And scaling it back. No more safe or on the base pass.
Of
no
course.
More of that. No more plays at the plate review.
Yeah.
None of that.
Basketball. Did he get the shot off before the clock?
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. And I think if you pressed Marchand on this and had a time talking a little bit more, who's got a problem with the goal review? Honestly. I mean, did it go in or not? That's all
was
you
that,
really
was that
need.
Toronto
to...
when the puck snuck in, like on a corner of the net? That was, right?
I thought
it was a Toronto series, I thought.
I thought that was Columbus.
Or was it Columbus? Maybe it was.
I'm not sure. But
that's not all or nothing. And he's suggesting all or nothing, and I think he's wrong. And I think anyone who does go the all or nothing route on this is wrong.
But I'm saying if you were to press him and have more time to talk to him about it, I don't know that he would be against just the goal review.
You want to give him that credit? Give him that credit. He's the one that came up with this answer.
Okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's still okay with that. But the question is, do you want to get rid of everything else? Would you be okay with getting rid of everything else?
No, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
If you just wanted to use it for the net,
yep.
You know, did it go in? Was it in or was it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I would be. And I'd be okay with ditching the offsides thing and ditching everything else and determining simply, was it in, was it out? And that also means not going back and seeing if it was goalie interference or not and ditching all that. Yep, I'd be okay with that.
How about Marchand, though, too, though? I just say, they got a tough enough job as it is.
That's
their job, you know, like, nice little gamesmanship there.
Exactly.
And I'm like, is that Brad Marchand's quote?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, it's tough enough on these guys.
They're out there to do a job, and you're starting to take it away from them a little bit. And
while you're licking people.
You want to take this away from the refs, you know?
Yeah.
Don't do that. They got a job to do. You know, let them do their job. Good for you, Marsh.
Sucking up to the refs.
Yeah, he is. Hell yeah.
Smart. I still can't believe he licked people.
Licked a couple
that's
of
disgusting.
Guys. He licked a couple
that's
of
so
guys.
This, while they're sweating and dripping.
Well.
That is so disgusting.
That's what it is. He also wants no review for any disciplinary matters. He doesn't want anyone to be able to look back
that's
at the tape
what he's
when
saying.
They're deciding suspensions.
That's probably what he's
no,
saying.
No, no, no. Whatever you saw live is all you get to look at. You don't get to go back and look at the tape.
Put a tape
of whatever it is that I did. But he wants to go all or nothing on review. And he's wrong. He's right. You shouldn't eliminate review altogether.
No, and if by that he means getting rid of it for the goal reviews, then I would disagree with him. But if
he does. He wasn't uncertain in his comments. I love how, as a talk show host, you just want to give the athletes I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and the credit when no one ever would give you any benefit of the doubt for an opinion you have.
I think it's a wise decision on his part to A, suck up to the refs, and B, want to get rid of video review, and I will give him a slight benefit of the doubt and think that it means gold reviews also. That's it.
He didn't stutter. He spoke very clearly and stated his opinion. All right, 617-779-0985. Let's get to someone who says they know what the game that Pastrnak played was. Go ahead.
Oh, what's up, guys? I'm originally from Czech, so it's Dusty and Sasky, which means...
That's how you say it? Say that one more time, because you just cut up a little bit.
It's Dusty.
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 It's like a soft eye. Dusty.
So it's like that song we bump back with.
Dusty.
And Sasky.
Dusty and Sasky.
What does that mean?
And it means horse races and bets.
Horse races.
So when they translated it into the English version, they just called it betting on horses.
You want to play races and bets?
They should have called it horse races and bets.
Yeah, I actually never played it. I left Czech in 82, but I think the game came around like in 83 or 84, but that's how it's pronounced.
Popular game?
I bet his mother must make a good halushki.
Probably in the hockey community. I'm not sure. I've never played it, but it's like it's based on Monopoly.
Monopoly.
Okay, yes. Ready? One more time.
Dostihi Asaski.
Thank you very much.
Do you have to pause for 2 seconds in between?
Let's make sure we have a nice clean drop of that. We can play that back anytime we need to say the name of the game.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dostihi.
I'd have a field day.
And Sasuke.
I'd have a field day with him on away trips. I'd be like, say this word. Say that word.
Dostihi and Sasuke.
What are you guys doing for the next 7 hours? Do you want to play Dostihi?
Remember the
and Sasuke?
Do you remember
these? Hey guys, we got a trip to the West Coast.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
I brought my Dostihi and Sasuke.
We have to
what's
start.
Up, guys?
But we have to start before we take off. We need the full 7 hours.
Who's the American player that messes with him? Like, I want to know the inside scoop on, like, locker room, the way that locker room operates. Like, remember my big Greek wedding? You're like, hey, say this, they minishli or something in Greek. It's like, I have no testicles. I have one testicle.
Dostihi Asaski.
Asaski. Let's get to the action update with the guys in the desert. Get some caught up on everything in the world of sports gambling. Get to the latest odds. That is coming up right now, and then we are back here from Canal Street as we get ready for Game 2 of the Cup Final.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market booth, sponsored by Bud Light, Zolak, and Bertrand, on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number. Jump on board. We got open phone lines for you right now. Judd Surratt's going to be joining us momentarily. He's making his way over from TD Garden. We are at our Star Market broadcast booth here at Boston Sports Grill.
I thought he was going to be here at noon.
Well, things went a little late this morning with various availabilities.
Okay.
Such.
All right.
Okay.
No, we'll just move heaven and earth for Judd.
Yeah.
It's fine.
He'll be over here in a little bit. Troy is in Dorchester.
Yeah.
Again, We are, again, in the Star Market broadcast booth, the Boston Sports Grill, here today with Bud Light. Troy in Dorchester, take it away on Kyrie Irving.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
So what I was saying was, if Kyrie Irving is to get signed back, he needs to come to the group as a man and say, guys, I'm sorry. I kind of shut it down last season. I was whatever was going on in my head, what was going on in my head. And I would like you guys to take me back as a point guard and lead this team. Something needs to be said. Some type of reconciliation is due. He can't just be signed back and go back to being old Kyrie. That's not how it's going to be.
Or you change the group. Your phone is really bad again, Troy, so we got to let that go. Or you change the group, and the guys who don't care about an apology are still here, and the guys that would care about an apology are gone.
Apology.
What's he going to apologize for?
For being like every other player in
the
NBA?
What is he apologizing for?
I don't know.
Apologize for what?
For holding back Terry Rozier. He stunted his growth. For what those other players had to sacrifice because he was here. Anybody should be apologizing. It should be the young kids. I'm sorry. Inflated value of self-worth. They thought they were better than they were. And they're not.
Like, if he has something to apologize for, it's not related to basketball. It's related to, hey,
friendship.
I was annoying to be around. Right?
I guess.
If you're obnoxious to be around and people don't enjoy being around, yeah, I'm sorry for being that way. Sorry for being that guy, you know?
The thinker. Yeah.
So, if
you
want to apologize for that,
you know what?
Apologize for it.
And make sure that you look him in the eye when you apologize. And it's a genuine, real apology.
Oh, right. Who's saying?
Because the one guy.
Ezekiel Elliott?
Ezekiel Elliott.
The security guard.
Security guard said, hey, it wasn't a real apology because he didn't look at me.
Right.
And it wasn't heartfelt. It was like when Todd Packer apologized about Kevin's weight. I'm sorry that I called you fat.
Who? What?
Kevin from The Office. Todd Packer. Packer's going to apologize. Kevin. They're like, don't take it, Kevin. It's not an official apology. I can lose some weight. He is right. Well, that's how you take it, right?
Doesn't that, the security guard said it wasn't sincere.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a guy who's getting ready for a lawsuit? What did he do to the security guard?
I wouldn't comment that.
What did he do to the security guard?
Right, knocked him over.
Is that what happened? He knocked over the security guard?
Yeah.
On purpose?
Do you think Michael Bennett apologized to his that he knocked down and pushed out of the way?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think they're waiting on an official apology from him. Yeah, this guy sounds like he's got some issues, the security guard. You do this, now you're being a jerk. God knocked you over. He apologized.
Maybe it wasn't a sincere apology.
Maybe it wasn't.
The way that the security guard spoke about it is weird.
Yeah, very weird.
Didn't make direct eye contact. I would say, yeah, he apologized, but it wasn't sincere. He's still a jerk.
He didn't want to apologize.
That's he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he tried to apologize, but he didn't mean it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Look at these hockey guys. So they get this Stanley Cup Network on, the NHL Network.
Stanley Cup Network?
NHL Network. And I told you this about these damn hockey people.
What about them?
They're in suits all day. Like, yeah, I'm not going to host a talk show, but you know, it's not officially game time. I'm going to put the tie around my neck. Don't tie the tie. But I have the suit on, and it looks like he's got to be the hockey version of Mike Francesa.
Well, right? Brian Burke is sitting in the middle.
Right,
he's not
tied up.
That's a guy with plenty of experience in the game.
Of course. But he's going somewhere tonight, and he hasn't officially tied his tie yet. See what I'm saying? Like, they like to get up and put on suits and just walk around. I think it makes him feel more important. Not necessarily Brian Burke, but just hockey people in general. I went in Monday.
It's
down
not
here.
About feeling important. It's an old school respect for the game where people used to get dressed up for the games.
But the people across the street are in this little coffee shop, this Boston coffee place. They already had their lanyards on. The guy's in there with the coffee, and he's sitting down. He puts a napkin on his lap. He's adjusting his tie. And it's like 8:30 because I was here so early. Like, wow, game's what, 12 hours?
Yeah. You know what? You're one to talk.
Oh, an NFL game, that's different. Yeah, I don't put my tie on, no.
And you do that in the regular season. You show up all dressed up 7 hours before kickoff and walk around the field with your big boy clothes on.
These guys
are doing the same thing, and this is a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
So what's different?
They do it outside. At least I'm in the venue.
They do it in the coffee shop, but they're with their napkin.
At least
on their
I'm
butt.
Inside.
You
the
got a problem? You got a problem with napkins? That's
no,
what it
it's
is.
85 degree day on a Monday. The game's not for 12 hours. The rink you can't even get in yet, and. Got my suit on already. With my lanyard.
Because they're classy. They're classy guys.
Yeah, but they have to go to skate in the morning. It's not.
They got to go to morning
they
skate. They got TV all day.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. And then there's Capella with a sweater vest. Put a suit on Capella. Jesus.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah, it's because he's him. He'll tell you exactly what he has to do. I'll tell you it's this way. Okay. I'm tired of stuff. You do it this way. You do it this way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So morning skates have been pushed back. That's why.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, at least the. Who are they playing? St. Louis. St. Louis has got pushed back.
Media availability might move back.
Media availability got moved back. Sorry. Thank you.
Judd and Ty are both on their way if they're not there yet. So they're racing.
I see Ty.
Ty's already here.
Ty's going to hang out, though. He'll,
no,
wait.
He's not dressed like the Joker today.
And Judd just walked in. He just walked through.
Wow, you look weird, man. So, no, I mean, you look good, but he's not a hipster.
No.
Huh.
He's not wearing the gold pants and the purple sport coat like
Judd's
he was for game
too.
One.
Judd's here. So what do we do? Take a quickie and then do Judd? You want Judd to hip in?
Yeah. So why don't we do this? Yeah. Why don't we hit the headlines with Hardy?
Okay.
And then we'll talk to Judd Surratt, voice of the Boston Bruins. He looks good. He's got a suit on, Zo. I don't know if that's okay with you.
Oh, it looks great.
He's got a suit. Zo's got a thing about everyone wearing a suit. He says hockey guys all wear suits.
No,
yeah. Show up like Hags, yes.
If you couldn't hear him off mic, Judd said, do you want me to do the Hags thing with cargo shorts and a sweatshirt?
No, that's cargo shorts and a Star Wars hockey sweater.
That is Boston middle-aged white guy just written all over. Don't do it. It's just some Birkenstocks on.
We'll get to the headlines. Hardy will get you caught up, including the fact that Robert Thomas not in the lineup tonight for the Blues, and according to his head coach, it has nothing to do with the Krug hit. Come on.
Oh, going back to Sunday.
Come on. It has a little to do with the Krug hit. A little bit. All right. He'll get you caught up on that. We'll talk to Judd Surratt next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Stanley Cup Finals. Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill are the only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is Robert Thomas in?
No, he's out.
Is this connected to the hit yesterday or
no,
the injury?
No, nothing to do with the hit. No.
And what about Vince Dunn?
He's out tonight, too.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We are live from the Star Market broadcast booth at Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Fan Fest taking place outside prior to Game 2 tonight of the Stanley Cup Final. We're with Bud Light today, and now we are joined by the voice of the Boston Bruins right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Judd Surratt. Hi, Judd.
What's going on, boys?
Good to see you again.
How come hockey people can't talk? Like, what? Boo.
Boo. Say, oh, Canadian.
He's out.
You tell Craig Berube.
But normally,
I don't sweat him.
Like Jaffe, Jaffe, your buddy Jaffe there, he'll get bit by the Canadian accent every once in a while.
I haven't noticed it from Bruce Cassidy.
But he's got it too. Bottle. We get in there. We bottle. Cattle for the puck.
Cassidy.
A couple bottles.
Oh, yeah. Some guys have it a little bit thicker than others.
It's almost like you've got to do it to be a hockey player. It christens you as a hockey guy then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on that accent.
Sound Canadian even if you're not.
Yes.
It's a hockey thing.
So how's it feel getting one under your belt there?
Good.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Great environment the other night. Just awesome. Even when the team was down 0-2 and just to see that Connor Clifton goal, and you could see how it not only electrified the team, but it electrified the crowd. And then just what ensued after that, they tally it. Again, Charlie McAvoy with a great individual effort as he wheeled himself from the neutral zone to the high slot. Was given the blue line. I'm sure that's one of the things that the St. Louis Blues are going to be talking about. And he whistled one underneath the glove of Craig Binnington, who clearly was upset with the goal. And he was rattled from that point forward. Elbowed David Backus on a scrum in front of the net. Then later, I don't know if you guys have caught it, Bob Beers had mentioned it. So fine, Brad Marchand scores the empty net goal. They put Binnington back in net, but there's still plenty of time. Goals can come very quickly in the National Hockey League. The bench for St. Louis was calling for Craig Binnington, or from Jordan Binnington, to get off the ice. He wasn't paying attention. It was about 20 to 25 seconds. He didn't see that Mike Van Ryan, the assistant coach of the Blues, was asking him to get off the ice. He finally got off, but I think that gives you an indication of maybe where his head was.
So at,
or
four,
wasn't.
So at 4-2, they wanted him to get back off the ice.
Yes. You still had plenty of time.
With 25 seconds to go.
Oh, no, no, no. You had more than that. If you check the box score with Brad Marchand, so when Marchie scored to make it a two-goal game, you still had time to rally back, but he wasn't paying attention to get the extra attacker on. Wow. So they wasted some time.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the electricity in the building, too, and you caught a lot of goals for this team, and you've seen how guys do it. You know, they'll score a goal, and you'll get the fist pump, a little skate around or tap. All three of those guys, whether McAvoy, whether it was Clifton, and then, of course, Corrali, attacked the glass. They elevated, went, and snapped out both. All three attacked the glass. Like, they haven't done that a lot this year. You could tell the energy that they had.
Absolutely.
They've elevated their excitement level, which I think plays into the crew kit and just gets everybody going more, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. I talked to Sean Corrali about the celebration, actually, just before the morning skate.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times it's obviously not a conscious thing he'll do, but he said, I always seem to end up on that side of the ice or in that corner to celebrate the goals.
I think Milbury called, like, Lambo Leap, too, on a TV broadcast. Like, they went up. They went nuts. It was good.
He's had some good ones. I tell you what, if you look at his numbers, going back to when he first made his National Hockey League debut in the playoffs against the Ottawa Senators, then last year and now this year, his game elevates in the playoffs.
What do you make of the Thomas situation? You know, he denied that that's why he's out tonight because of the hit. But what was the issues going back to Sunday? Because he was potentially not going to play game one, too.
So if you go back to the last series, though, against the San Jose Sharks, he had stopped taking the morning skate about midway through that series. But whether it's Craig Berube or anybody on that team and anybody around the National Hockey League, you're not going to get a real picture of what anybody is dealing with until after the playoffs are over or after that team is eliminated. I'm sure he, like a lot of guys, is dealing with something. It probably was exacerbated when Torrey Krug steamrolled him late in the third period.
He didn't skate after that. But
you know, as big as that hit was, and since you're talking about ice time, I was more fascinated by some guys who also didn't see the ice later in the game for St. Louis. One of those guys was Joel Edmondson. And I talked with a few Blues people here earlier today. So Edmondson, who plays on the top pair with Alex Pietrangelo, didn't see the ice in the last 9 minutes of regulation. Now, he took two penalties in the game. Obviously, one was against David Backus. He was also the guy who failed to box out and take Sean Corrali on what proved to be the game winner in the third period. And I think there are a lot of people for St. Louis who feel whether they needed some offense or they weren't happy with the way he was playing, that they took him off the ice in the last 9 minutes.
So for the Bruins, the Corrali line was on the ice for both of the even-strength goals, right? For the Clifton goal and for Corrali's goal, which was great. Do the Bruins finally get some production from their top guys? Do they get going in this one tonight? And they're going to need that. I mean, that's what we've said. Do you agree with that they're going to need those guys to come through for them at some point?
At some point, if you're going to win the series, you're absolutely going to need it. Going back to the conference final, Rod Brind'Amour had mentioned what scared him was that in the first couple of games of that series that the top line hadn't really been heard from the Bruins, and he knew that it was just a matter of time. These players are too good that as the sample size gets bigger, even across a series, those guys are going to play a role. So I do think that for those players who are really highly skilled, being able to shake off the rust in game one is going to help them here in game two. Since you guys had brought up the name of Connor Clifton, I was looking at it today. So Connor Clifton, he's such a great story. Across the National Hockey League in the playoffs, you had 16 teams that made the playoffs. Only a total of 12 rookie defensemen saw ice time at least one game in the playoffs. Look at the way this guy has sparkled. This was a guy who wasn't even on your radar whatsoever, drafted by another organization in the Coyotes. You sign him as a free agent. He's the last guy that you bring in from Providence. And look at the game and the way that he played in game one to help you win that.
Yeah, it's remarkable because if you had gone back, and we said this just yesterday, If you had gone back to the start of the year and you said you're going to be in the Stanley Cup final, and after game one, your three stars of the game will be Corrali, Johansson, and Clifton, you'd say, I'm sorry, who are those last two guys you mentioned? What are the first names of those two guys?
Exactly.
Right. Johansson who? Clifton who? Who are these guys? What are you talking about?
And when we talk about secondary scoring, and obviously that's been a large part of the story for the Bruins, as it has for the Blues, but it's the way that all those guys played. Marcus Johansson didn't record a point in game one, but he was dominant every time he was on the ice.
Especially early. I mean, he had some really good opportunities early that he created for himself.
But it gives you the idea.
It felt like he had an impact despite not it showing up.
Oh,
right?
Every time he touched the puck, he was able to knife through and generate some opportunities. He cranked one off the post. That's going to be a hard matchup again for the Blues to be able to counter, as it was for the Maple Leafs, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then the Carolina Hurricanes.
Do you expect the Blues to bounce back in this? Because I do, and I look at the other night, and I know that out of the gate, the way the Bruins were in the first period, I think we sort of came away from that first period feeling disappointed and feeling like they had some rust to knock off. But I still felt, even at the end of that first period, they created some opportunities, and I didn't feel like St. Louis, even after they had scored that second goal, which was a gift from the Bruins at the start of the second period, I didn't feel like they had created all that much to that point in the game, even having a 2-0 lead. The Bruins didn't fold. We saw that. They came back. But end-to-end, I still felt like the Bruins were the better team in that game.
Oh, it wasn't even close.
And the Blues did not play well, really.
No, not at all. I think you had a couple of things at play.
Yeah.
In talking to some of the Blues people, I think a lot of them felt, especially up 2-0, they stopped playing. I think a lot of them felt that maybe the moment finally caught them a little bit. Mm. But I also think that the Blues are going to be a lot better tonight. They got shelled 6-3 in Game 1 against the San Jose Sharks. Obviously came back and rallied a couple of times from deficits to win that series because they also lost Game 3 with a controversial hand pass. But they've experienced some issues across their three series, and they've been able to respond to this. They lost a couple of games in Winnipeg and were able to come back and win that series. So I think that they're going to be a better group tonight. I think you're going to see a team that tries to elevate their tempo. Let's see how they manage the puck because that was also an issue for them in Game 1.
I like what you said about the goalie, though, the Birmingham kid, Bennington.
I thought it was Bennington.
Bennington. Bennington. I know it's four goals. One was the empty netter, but he gives up three straight and not looking to the bench to have that awareness, especially, hey, what am I doing? Am I out or am I out? What do you want me out here? Now maybe it's in his head. And based on how he answered the Krug stuff yesterday, pupils dilated. Maybe he's on something. I know it's a joke. But just an odd answer. Something to watch tonight.
Well, look at his reaction after Charlie McAvoy scored. What did he do? He looked disgusted at himself.
Yeah. We would be killing Rask for that today if he let up that goal.
Absolutely. That's a goal that you probably have to stop.
In this type of series, yes.
You know, I couldn't tell clearly or not whether or not Alex Pietrangelo got a piece of that. It might have been influenced.
It was weird.
You still have to be able to come up with a key save at a key time. Your team needed that. Instead, you squander the lead, and I think he looked rattled after that. Then he got a little bit more traffic. The Bruins keep coming. He elbows David Backes while he was down. I tell you what, if 63 had done that, that would be the only thing we would be talking about. We wouldn't be talking about the Torrey Krug hit. We'd be talking about something that Brad Marchand did. But because it was Jordan Binnington against David Backes, maybe it gets missed. Now, I know that some of the national guys are going to be talking about this tonight.
Did you see the reverse of that, by the way? The reverse angle from behind the net on when he elbowed Backes in the face?
I didn't get an opportunity.
Okay. So it hasn't. I think it was only on the Canadian broadcast. I don't think it was on the NBC broadcast. It looks like Backes grabbed his knee.
And he may have.
Yeah, it looks like he reached in and he grabbed the back of his knee and put his weight down in trying to get back up and had his hand around the back of his knee, which apparently pissed off
Birmingham.
I'm going to screw this up so royally.
That's what we're doing.
We're doing this for a week now.
Right. Try to say Omanau Nui for 4 years.
I think he may have thought, and I don't know if it was on purpose. It was, you know, back he's just playing mind games or trying to get into, you know, annoy him. And it obviously got to him. And I think that was the motivation for doing it. And I'm curious if anyone is going to ask Backus about it at any point.
David Backus did not. I think he was asked.
I wouldn't know not to it, though. I don't know. I'm just getting up.
I don't know if David Backus was made available to the media today. And again, I don't have a huge issue with what Jordan Binnington did because some of the traffic in front of his net. It's the playoffs. Hey, I get it. You're going to go to the hard areas. Some of these things are going to happen. Could you have called a minor penalty on him? Sure. But I think at the end of the day, it's not a big deal that they decided to let that go. I think my point is it really depends who is delivering that shot.
Yeah. So we'll see tonight. I think that this is a sneaky important game, though, in that the series looks a lot different at 1-1 going to St. Louis than it does 2-0.
Sure does.
Really
Plus,
does.
If you get it tonight, the sweep is in play.
That is true.
You start 2-0, you got a good chance at a sweep.
Bruins lose tonight. I do not like their chances of sweeping.
Gentlemen sweeps, though, on. Five.
Yeah, true.
You guys were working the math at the start of the show earlier today. So
we started on this last week. We've had a long.
It's a big one tonight because then they got.
I don't know if you've noticed there was a long layoff between the end of the conference final and the start of the cup.
Might have been.
Yeah.
You've called games against teams. You could tell what the other team looks like and get a feel for it. You like their chances to run 4 out of 5 off if they lose tonight?
No, I don't. I don't. I was asked the other day on with some St. Louis radio station, and they asked, what is the Bruins' weakness? Do the Bruins have a weakness?
That's a good question.
The answer is none. They don't have a weakness. Rod Brind'Amour actually had mentioned that this is not a team that has holes. They don't have any weaknesses. And if you do make mistakes, it's winding up in the back of your net.
All right, Judd, appreciate the time.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy game two.
Good luck on the call tonight. Game two right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will, of course, have the only local call of the game right here on The Sports Hub. We'll talk to Ty Anderson of 98.5thesportshub.com coming up, so don't go anywhere.
Cutie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light, Zolak, and Bertrand. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, The Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Zolak and Bertrand, we are live from Star Market broadcast booth, Boston Sports Grill. We're with Bud Light today.
Are we going to do that bear thing anytime soon?
Yeah, you want to talk about it right now?
Yeah, because it's kind of a weird time of year. And I remember last time the Bruins were like went this deep, like there were bears on the tracks over in Newton.
Yeah.
People going nuts and like, oh, it's for the Stanley Cup final, this and that. And Arlington didn't have one up
all right,
a tree.
We got to do it quickly, though, so we got to stop talking about all these other bear stories.
We got another one here.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Ty Anderson in about 5 minutes.
This was scary.
Jim has this report, which will summarize it much faster than us talking about it. Jim, if you want to play it.
Things around the Camp Varnum area in Rhode Island may seem calm now, but hours earlier, chaos unfolded for Brenda McCluskey.
Right around 12:30. His lunchtime.
After finishing yard work, McCluskey was getting into her parked Subaru when a large black bear was hoping to come along for the ride. First, it tried to get in on the driver's side.
He was looking directly at me, and then he decided to go around to the other side, and that's actually where my lunch was.
And then the hungry animal became overbearing.
He'd open the car door halfway, and I was able to close it several times, but I couldn't lock it until it was completely closed. So it was a tug of war for, seemed like an eternity.
McCluskey grabbed her cell phone, dialing her husband in 911. Narragansett police and animal control were responding while the bear made her Subaru a jungle gym. She says she didn't want to take off and hurt it.
Oh, he had both feet up on top of the roof of the car at one point. When they got here, he had one paw, and he was biting at the door handle.
Police sirens scared it away. Nearby residents say word is traveling quickly in this Narragansett neighborhood.
Everyone's kind of just absolutely amazed that there's a wild bear around here.
The fact that she was able to take pictures while panicking is astonishing to some.
It's great she had the picture, but who knows where the bear's going?
But having barely any inclination that something like this would ever happen, the proof is in the photo.
Because no one would believe it. No one would believe it, but that's what I guess everybody needs to know is, yes, they are out here.
I've heard enough of this.
Well, I mean, it's unbearably cute.
Oh, well done. Moron. You had time to take photos? You had time to call your husband before you called 911?
I like the one where he's at the two paws.
You didn't drive away because you were afraid of the bear getting hurt?
I'd have ran that thing over.
Put the car in drive and drive away.
I thought your life was in danger, lady.
What a waste of time.
What, you have a pot of honey on a seat next to her?
The bear will figure it out.
Put the car in drive and drive away.
But it was a jungle gym. The bear was playing with her Subaru.
In these cases, I root for the bear.
I root for the bear over the report.
I root for the bear.
I want that bear to get in that
I
studio.
I root for the bear to get in and get his lunch out of that car. The bear deserved lunch.
The poor roving reporter live on the scene.
The bear was probably shocked that the car hadn't driven away yet.
Look at the picture. Like, they get the picture. That's a scary looking bear.
The car is still here?
That's big bear.
You know, that bear right there is looking through the window at the lady going, "You idiot. You haven't driven away yet, and I'm still here?"
Well, the bear went to the lunch side of the car.
You are a fool.
All he went to the lunch side of the Subaru.
Why would she just...
The black bear went to my Subaru.
So if he's on the other side of the car, why don't you roll your window down, take your lunch, and throw it over the top, and then go get it?
What type of lunch was it? Careful with throwing away a perfectly good lunch.
You've got time to call your husband, call 911, and take photos, but not put the car in drive.
She didn't want to hurt the bear.
Okay, but you got yourself on the news. Congratulations.
That's what she wanted. She wanted attention.
Yeah, she got that. Didn't want to hurt the bear. So you're going to let the bear crawl into the front seat with you?
This just...
And share the turkey sandwich you had for lunch?
No, this just goes to show you. It adds to the stupidity of the state of Rhode Island.
Waste of time.
The way Rhode Islanders operate, you know? Someone in Massachusetts or Quincy would have ran over that bear.
Oh, run the bear right over and thrown him right in the water.
Quincy, you guys park right on the curbs, like right up on the curbs.
See, now, if it was a sandwich I had brought from home, like...
What if your mother-in-law...
Like something... Oh, now, if it was one of the sandwiches my mother-in-law made, I would fight the bear for the sandwich.
Oh, please.
If it was one of my sandwiches, I don't make great sandwich. Leftovers? No, go ahead, take it. If I just stopped, maybe bought myself a roast beef, okay, the bear and I are going to have
you
words about that.
You waited for the police to come and scare it away with the sirens? What is the point of this activity? Drive away.
You know what you're supposed to
do. Go home.
You know what you're supposed to do.
What are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to tap the bear on the underside of its snout. So it's got that long snout.
Yeah.
And what you do is you just give it a... And I'll demonstrate on Zoe here. Just give it a... Just two quick taps. They don't like it. It's that soft palate underneath.
Yeah.
Don't snap it on its nose.
They don't like that.
They don't like... Well, they
your
don't like that.
You want to beat the hell out of your dog. You hit him.
But that's like a hard bone up there. You go underneath and just go, and that bear will scamper off.
Hit the top, they'll react. They'll come after you.
Just in case, though, don't use your dominant hand. Because I'm not saying it goes perfectly every single time. For a righty, left hand, two taps. There you go. That's it.
Drive away.
Yep.
Just drive away.
And then drive away. If you're scared about running over the bear's, what is it, a foot?
I called my husband, and what's he going to do? And then I called 911, and then I took pictures. And in no time did you think putting the car in drive was a good idea.
So then I called the New England Bear Alliance, the NEBA. I have them speed dialed. I have them saved as a favorite.
And then I Googled what to do in a bear attack.
I went on Wikipedia.
She called her husband and then.
How stupid.
Why would you just
I mean,
call
really, how stupid that entire sequence was.
You're never going to believe this story.
I feel more stupid for having listened to that story.
You're never going to believe this story.
Two taps. Two taps and you're fine. That's why I always carry those honey packs.
Poor bear. He didn't even get to eat.
Yeah, carry the KFC honey packs in my console there. There you go, Yogi. Take that. Get away from your car.
No, please. Make sure you get. My only disappointment in this story is she didn't get a selfie with the bear. She only took a regular photo of the bear. She wasn't able to turn the camera around and get the selfie. Tug of war.
Well,
wait, she had a tug of war with the bear. So this woman had a tug of war with the bear and expects us to believe that she won.
Maybe she used the tap method.
Are we buying that? No. Are we buying there was a tug of war with the bear that the bear gave up on and she won and then was able to lock the door? Oh, there was a tug of war and I won. No, you didn't. You didn't win a tug of war with a bear. Lies. That didn't happen.
This is the second dumbest story coming
didn't
out.
Didn't happen.
Coming out of Warwick.
Lies.
Coming out of Warwick in a week. You're trying to really trying to shame the kids for not paying them. You're getting cold lunches. You're not getting a hot
didn't
lunch.
Didn't happen.
Rhode Island.
Narragansett.
Narragansett. Whatever. Same thing.
I got him the tug of war and the bear
State's
gave up.
So small.
I wore him out. No, you didn't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.